Good morning. Today's daf and ksivas Sadi Gimel. We are in the Mishnah on the top of Sadi Gimel Med Aleph, and we are continuing here in the 10th parak regarding debt collection. Okay, so if you are a collector of debt, or if you're interested in becoming a collector of debt, these gemaras are fantastic. They're going to be, obviously, the gemaras that we've been doing the last couple of days have been somewhat complicated in terms of negotiating exactly, just a simple understanding of exactly some of these cases that we're learning right now. But as we are approaching a Mishnah, so today, compact off, difficult off, really. But what I'm going to try to do, obviously, is make this as simple as possible, make it as digestible as possible. There is a lot of commentary on this daf. This daf has become very popular and famous recently as a professor tries to understand the various numbers that are provided in the daf. But there has been a very simple and basic understanding of this daf now for hundreds and hundreds of years. Right, so what obviously I'm going to present today is a simple understanding of the Mishnah, although I say simple understanding of the Mishnah, as you'll see, the Mishnah is not that simple to understand, but I'm going to provide, obviously, the classic understanding of the Mishnah, otherwise stated, the Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah. Let's begin. The Mishnah starts off, so a man is married to three women, umes, and the man dies. So now, once again, debt collection, each one of them has a ksuva, each one of them is going to collect a debt. Now, here's where it gets easy, and that is, of course, is that if the man has enough money to satisfy every one of the ksuva obligations, so then there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, under those circumstances, we are going to be good. Where the Mishnah is going to become complex is where the man does not have enough money, and therefore there are limited funds to satisfy multiple obligations, and let's just ramp up the ante. Let's make this even more exciting, and that is that each one of the women have different value ksuvas. That they're going now against the estate, and now the estate is owing these multiple women different values of ksuva, and there's simply not enough money. And so the question is going to be a really simple question with a very difficult resolution, and that is that when you don't have enough money to satisfy all your creditors, and now you're going to have to figure out exactly who to pay how much, so who do you pay, and how much do you pay? That's the easy question. The answer is not easy. So Misha So there are now three widows here in the picture, and we're going to call each widow by their denomination. Mrs. 100, Mrs. 200, and Mrs. 300. That's the denomination, the ksuva. Okay? I think, by the way, you'll forgive me, by the way, for the sports analogy, but I think often of the times that when you're playing on a team and the various players have different contracts, obviously relative to the performance on the team, but I like sports, but in other words, I'm not making it to any athletic team, but I always wonder, like, in other words, if you're on a team and you are making a fraction of what your teammate is making, right? How does that make you feel? And now let's make this even more personal. In other words, you have multiple wives and one wife got a ksuv of 300 and the other one got a ksuv of 200. Like, what exactly is going on over here that he's giving multiple, different denominations for the various wives that he married? No. He just added Tosefis. There was one wife that he had a particular liking towards. He gave her 300. Right? He wrote her 300 ksuva. Okay. Anyway, let's go back. So the ancient melamana, and so now the estate only has 100. What do you do? So chokin b'shavis. So over here, the resolution over here is actually really simple, and that of course is that each one of them has a claim. Each claim is at least 100. So therefore, now they have equal claims to the only 100 that the estate has. And so therefore, each one of them is going to get a proportional amount of that 100. In other words, each one is going to get 33 and a third. That part's easy. Here's now where it no longer becomes easy. And that is, Hayusham Asayim. So let's say now there were 200 in the estate. And again, there's Mrs. 100, Mrs. 200, and Mrs. 300. So what do you do under those circumstances where now you have multiple ksuvas, which again, each ksuva now really is just a note. You have multiple notes outstanding against the estate, and the estate only has 200 to pay what really is in total now, is 600 zuz of debt. So, b'shaveh. So in Chokim, I'm sorry, what, I just lost my spot. Hayisha Masayim. So let's say they're 200. Shamana notlim chamesh. So the one who is owed 100 misses 100 is going to get 50. And shamasayim v'shal shalosh meir shlosha shal zahav. And the two remaining are each one of them going to be receiving 75. Okay. Now what you're going to do, and you could spend the rest of today doing, is trying to wrap your heads around those numbers. Those are very difficult numbers in terms of debt satisfaction. In other words, how did we get here? How did we get from the first one getting 50 and then the next two getting 75 each? That's very difficult. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask that question. And based on what we learned just moments earlier in the Mishnah, it's really hard to understand. Meaning, what did we just learn previously in the Mishnah? That in the case where there's 100, so what we're going to do is that we're just going to take that 100 and divide it evenly amongst the three wives. Because each one of them has at least a minimum 100 zuz claim in it. And so therefore, just moments earlier, we learned 33, 33, 33. And now we're saying that if there are 200 remaining in the estate, so what's going to happen is that Mrs. 100 is going to get 50, and Mrs. 200, Mrs. 300 are going to each get 75. How did that happen? Okay. No easy answers to that question, but obviously the question needs to be asked. Hi, Yusham. There it went. Okay. So let's say now there are 300 now in the estate. So what do I do now? Again, same circumstance. I have three missuses, three widows, 100, 200, 300. And now there are 300 left in the estate. So the Mrs. 100 is going to get 50. Vishal Masai Mane, and Mrs. 200 is going to get 100. Vishal Shalosh Meos Shisha Shel Zahav. And Mrs. 300 is going to get 150. Okay, 50, 100, 150. V'chein gimel she'itil l'kis pichsu o hosiru kachin chokin. And same thing is true regarding investments. In other words, if I have three people who invested, so this is going to be the distribution in terms of investors as well. Okay, lots to discuss over here. Once again, this Mishnah, we could spend not only the rest of today, we could do a doctorate on this Mishnah. But what we're doing today, obviously, is we're doing the daf. We're going to be covering the daf. And obviously, we're going to be operating with the classic presentation of the Gemara over here. Sorry, of the Mishnah over here. And so let's start with the Gemara.
And the Mishnah thinks this is a fair, equitable distribution.
The Mishnah feels that this is the correct distribution. Correct. In other words, it's certainly not equitable.
Percentage-wise, it's not.
Okay, good. In other words, it's exactly the point. Yeah. Meaning the first case of the Mishnah operates with a percentage model, which was perfect. In other words, when there was only 100 in the state, so we're working with a percentage model. And then from that point of going forward, it falls apart. Right. Correct. It no longer operates with a percentage model, and it totally falls apart. And we're left struggling to understand the Mishnah. Okay, good. And so what we're going to be doing over the course of today's daf, there's only one thing that we're doing over the course of today's daf, and that is trying to wrap our heads around the Mishnah. Okay. Okay. So good. So that's what we're going to try to do. And let's see how well we can succeed. So, Shel Manano tells Chamishim Talsinu Talsav Tilsu Hudisla. So the Gemara formulates the question. The Gemara formulates the question so simply, and really, it's just it's easy. The question's easy, and that is that in the first case where there was only 100 left in the estate, and now we have three women, each one of them has at least 100 claim in the estate. So what I'll do is I'll just simply divide with an equitable distribution using a percentage model. Each one of them gets a third. That part's easy. But then when I move on to the next case of the Mishnah, is that where there are 200 in the estate. So what happens all of a sudden? All of a sudden, everything goes crazy. In other words, the first wife gets 50. Each of the second ones get 75. What happened over there? In other words, that's not operating with a percentage model. And so the Gemara just simply wants to know, if we're operating with a percentage model in the first case of the Mishnah, so then just operate with a percentage model in the second case of the Mishnah as well. Meaning if there are 200 in the estate, so now of that first 100, percentage. Meaning each one of the women have at least a 33% claim in that first 100. So let's do it like we did in the first case of the Mishnah. Mrs. 100 should get 33. Mrs. 200 should get 33. Mrs. 300 should get 33. Now there's another 100. Okay. Let's see who's got claims in that second 100. Mrs. 100 doesn't have a claim. Mrs. 200, Mrs. 300 do have claims in that second 200. But why all of a sudden do we seem to be operating with a different model in terms of how to break up that first 100? So Amar Shmuel. So for this, where the Gemara is going to provide two different approaches in terms of how to understand our Mishnah, and the first approach is going to be Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, because if it's balas masam la balas mane, dinu dvarim inli imach b'mane. Okay, so the Shmuel's answer is basically going to be that our Mishnah is talking about side deals. Side deals. In other words, what happened over here is that as the widows now are trying to divide the limited resources of the estate amongst the three of them, so there was a side deal that went on. That's what our Mishnah is describing. And specifically, the Mrs. 200 says to Mrs. 100, look, what I don't want to do is I don't want to fight with you. I just simply don't want to fight with you. So whatever claim I have in that first 100, I'm removing myself from that claim. And so therefore, that first 100, I'm out. So now with that first 100, so how is that going to get divided 50-50 between Mrs. 100 and Mrs. 300? So the Gemara says, Yahachi Masefa. So the Gemara says, okay, let me see if this works out. Meaning, let's go on. And that is, Shal Masam V'Shal Shal Shmeos, Shal 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 Zahav. So the Gemara says, well, then what's happening over here is that the second 100 is going to be divided 75-75. I don't understand. Didn't Mrs. 200 say, I'm out? So, Tema La, so Hasakta Nafshimina. So why does the Mrs. 300 say to Mrs. 200, hello, didn't you say you were out? So if you're out, so now you have no business over here getting any kind of division. So the Gemara says, Mishum da Amar Le, Midinu Dvarim Hu Deslika Nafshai. So what Mrs. 200 says back to Mrs. 300 is, no, you didn't understand the side deal. The side deal is that over there, Mrs. 100, I like her. I have rachmanis for her. I'm not going to have anything to do with her. But with you, I'm not cutting the same side deal. In other words, you're going to have to contend with me. My release of my claim is a limited release. I'm just limiting myself from Mrs. 100. So for Mrs. 100, for that first 100, I'm out. So in other words, so now there are only two divisions of that first 100. And therefore it's going to go 50-50. 50 to Mrs. 100, 50 to Mrs. 300. Then, when you have now the second 100, so the second 100, so Mrs. 200 puts herself back in the game. And so therefore there's going to be an equitable distribution between the two of them on that second one, on that second 100. Okay. So basically the only way to understand the Mishnah says Shmuel is through this side deal. And by the way, I say it's a side deal. It's a complicated side deal. In other words, where Mrs. 200 is saying, I'm removing myself, but only from that first 100 and only from Mrs. 100. Okay, so that's complicated. Hayusham shal shmeos, and we're going to do the same thing. Meaning, shal masayim mane, shal masayim mane, shivim v'chamisha hu de'isla. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's consider. If there were 300 left in the estate, and only 300 in the estate, so what was the distribution over there? It was 50, 100, 150. The Gemara says, I don't understand. So the... why that distribution? Shouldn't it have been, shouldn't Mrs. 200 get 75? Meaning, again, we're assuming now, we're within the answer of Shmuel. We're assuming a side deal, but even within the side deal, shouldn't she be entitled to 75? Look, when there was 200, so she got 75. So over here, if there's 300, so for sure, assuming the same side deal, she should also get 75. So I'm a Shmuel, because Sefer's Bala Shal Shmeos, okay, so again, Shmuel says the same thing. And that is that in this case in the Mishnah, so what we're going to assume is that Mrs. 300 says to Mrs. 200 and to Mrs. 100, look, I'm removing myself from myself in that first 100. And so therefore, of that first 100, it's going to be divided evenly between Mrs. 100 and Mrs. 200. That's why it'll be 50-50 between the two of them. And now, after that, so then the only thing left is the second 100 and the third 100. But again, the only way to understand how the numbers work is only through these side deals. So, what we have so far is the following, and that is we have a really difficult Mishnah, which talks about dividing the estate where you have multiple ksuva holders, each one of them having a different denomination ksuva, and having claims obviously against the estate, and the estate simply does not have enough money to satisfy all their collections, and so therefore, what do I do in terms of dividing the limited assets amongst the women? And so the Mishnah gives us its numbers. And what the Gemara right now is trying to do is understand the numbers. Shmuel says the only way to understand the Mishnah is via the side deals. That's the only way to understand the Mishnah.
Why not prorate it?
Okay, good. So the good. We asked the question. We don't have a good answer. So the that's it. It goes without saying, by the way, that it's really difficult. And again, this is why our Mishnah is such unbelievable fodder for so much discussion. Meaning that the Mishnah is now presenting a halacha in terms of distribution, and the only way to understand it is only with the okimtas, only with the cases that you have to insert into the Mishnah. That's really difficult. Why would the Mishnah do that? Okay, Rav Yaakov. And by the way, the numbers in the Mishnah are, I'm sorry for not saying this well, but the numbers in the Mishnah are attractive. Meaning that there's a certain you could see that the Mishnah is trying to formulate like some sort of system. Meaning where you get 50 and 100 and 150, there is an attractiveness to the numbers that are provided in the Mishnah. But again, as Alan points out, as we pointed out earlier, meaning just in other words, why don't we work with a percentage model? Okay, anyway. Rav Yaakov Nar Pokod Mishmed Ravina Amar Resha B'Shnei Tfisos V'Seifa B'Shnei Tfisos. Okay, so the Gemara gives us a second way in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. And that is that there was not a single distribution of the estate. Meaning, what Rav Yaakov Minahar Pakod is trying to suggest is that if there was a single distribution of the estate, so then we're going to operate with a percentage model. Like we said in the first case in the Mishnah. Meaning, when it was 100, so every one of the women are going to get 33%. Simple. And if it was 200 and there was a one-time distribution, also we're going to operate with a percentage model as well. But what we're describing in the Mishnah, says Rav Yaakov, is that there wasn't a one-time distribution, it was multiple distributions. Now, what exactly is happening over here? How come the estate is making multiple distributions over here? It's not like it's an investment and everybody's waiting to collect their return on their investment. Meaning, what's happening over here is that this is debt. And all we're doing is satisfying debt. So when they're coming to collect their debt, so shouldn't they all be now receiving a single distribution in terms of debt satisfaction? Oh, by the way, I didn't say this in the Mishnah when we learned the Mishnah. It's an obvious point, but I it's not too late. I can still say it now. And that is the following. That we're talking about a case where the ksuvas were all written on the same day. Meaning, we're talking about debt. And like we learned in yesterday's daf, in other words, you have a first mortgage, you have a second mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning that if the ksuvas were dated on different dates, obviously the woman with the earlier date has a earlier claim to whatever limited assets are left. And so in other words, she's first in line. Next one is second in line, et cetera, et cetera. So the only way that this Mishnah even could present itself as a dilemma is only when the ksuvas are all dated on the same day. Good. That's an obvious point. By the way, Rashi said that back in the Mishnah, but I forgot to mention.
One has to be signed before the next.
Okay, so in determining, right, in determining, okay, just for the listeners out there, I got real estate people here, I got a mortgage broker here. Okay, so I'm in over my head. I to begin with, even just if I had nobody here, I'm in over my head. But now, right. So when determining first, second mortgages, so they just go to the date. In other words, they don't. Okay. In other words, you're right. You're right. In other words, somebody signed before somebody else. Okay, but they limit themselves to the date. Reisha b'shnei tfisos v'seifa b'shnei tfisos. Yeah. So Reisha b'shnei tfisos denaflu. Denaflu shivim v'chamisha b'chazimna. So in the Reisha, what we're talking about was where the first distribution was 75, and now of that 75. So once again, each one of them is going. We're working with a percentage model. Each one of them is going to be receiving 25, and may have asked me chamisha bechad zimna. And the second distribution came out to 125 at one time. Now of that 125 at one time, so now what we're going to do is that we're going to divide that next distribution also on a percentage model. But at least now you can plug it back into the Mishnah and it'll fit into the Mishnah. And Sefer B'Shei Tfisos Denaflu Shivim V'Chamisha B'Chad Zimna. Same thing with the Sefer as well. In other words, the first distribution was 75, and then Masayim V'Asriv V'Chamisha B'Chad Zimna, and the next distribution was 225. And then again, what you're going to do, I'm going to spare right now the plugging in, but what you're going to then do is put it back into the Mishnah, and it works. Meaning, that is a way of understanding and reconciling how it is that everyone's getting the amount that they're getting. Okay, Tanya. We learned in a brisa. We're inside the Gimel Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Zumishnah's Rabbi Nassan. Our Mishnah's Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Omer, but Rabbi's of the position, Ein Ani Roa Dvav Shal Rabbi Nassan Be'elu. Rabbi says, look, I just don't agree. And that is Ela Chokas B'Shava. But rather what I believe is that it should be an equitable distribution. Everyone should be receiving the same amount. Meaning to say is as follows. Meaning, again, what's going on over here? I have Mrs. 100, Mrs. 200, Mrs. 300. Okay, each one of them now widows with that number representing what their ksuva is. And what do I have now in the estate? Let's go to the last case of the Mishnah. I have 300 in the estate. So what we were assuming up until now is that there's some sort of percentage model in terms of how much each one should be receiving. Prorated. That's what we've been assuming. But of course, though, we've been knocking our head for the first half of today's daf, trying to figure out, well, if we're prorating, so then give me a number that represents prorating. And we're not, meaning the Mishnah is giving us like nice numbers, but they're not accurate numbers regarding percentages. So that's what we've been trying to do.
First half?
Well, again, in other words, that's what we commented, meaning yes, that's correct. Meaning if the dating of the ksuva documents are different dates, so then we're going to go first, second, third mortgage. Okay, good. But over here, we're only talking about a case where they went in on the same day. Okay, and then of course it presents problems that you can't marry women on the same day. But, okay, regardless. In other words, we're just focusing on the debt satisfaction. Good. So what Rebbe now is saying is that I look at this totally differently. And that is that I don't think all this should be based on a percentage model. Let's take the following into consideration. The woman holding the 100 note. What is mortgaged against her 100? Everything. In other words, every asset that's owned by him is mortgaged against that note. And the same thing with Mrs. 200. What's mortgaged against that note? Also everything. And the same thing with Mrs. 300. What's mortgaged against that note? Everything. Rebbe says that I think in terms of debt satisfaction, in the case where there are only 300 Zuzim in the estate, I think Mrs. 100 gets 100, I think Mrs. 200 gets 100, and I think Mrs. 300 gets 100 as well. Because the way that Rebbe sees it is that it's not that we're looking at the estate and we're saying that the estate now needs to represent a percentage based of each person's debt. No. We go from the other perspective. We look from the debt holder. And from her perspective, from the debt holder's perspective, she now says that, look, you owe me 100. Now, Mrs. 200 says, you owe me 200. Lovely. I'm glad that they owe you 200. This is what the estate has right now. But in other words, but from the perspective of their shibud on 100 is all the same.
So that thing is a
shtar chov. Yeah, it is a shtar chov. Meaning, it absolutely correct. Okay. So that's Rebbe's view. Good. So chokos b'shava. V'chein shlosha shehitil amr shmol shayim shehitil l'kis. Zem anev zem asayim. Okay, now investors. Okay. Now the Mishnah made a comment after going over exactly how we're going to be satisfying the debt. So the Mishnah says same thing with investors as well. So if one puts, so amr shmol shayim shehitil l'kis. So let's say you have two people who made a venture merge. And zem anev zem asayim. And one put in 100 and the other put in 200. Haschar le'emtso. So, what's going to happen now is that in terms of sharing profit, so it'll be equal sharing profit. Okay. Now, I told you the first half of today's daf is going to be hard. Second half of today's daf also is going to be hard as well. We're not going to get any relief from today's daf. Okay. In other words, you try this out. Okay. Go into a venture, into a venture and just tell them, look, here's what I'm going to do. Right, I realize that right now you're putting in a lot, you're investing a lot into the venture, and I only put in a little bit. But you know what though? Let's share the profits equally. See how that works out. Okay, in any kind of venture. Obviously, what you're going to get is you're going to get laughter. In other words, and Shmuel, who is a serious person, who is a serious thinker, says that no, even though my investors were 100, 200, we're going to be dividing it equitably. How does that make sense? So, Amar Rabbi Mistarba Milsa de Shmuel, Bishur Lecharisha, Vomil Lecharisha. So Rabbi says, look, I'm going to try to wrap my head around what Shmuel's saying. I think Shmuel's talking about an extremely limited scenario. And that is that what we did is that we bought a ox and specifically for the purposes of plowing. Okay. Now, again, what I'm going to try to do, which is really hard today, is I'm going to try to explain Shmuel. Now, I'm given help, by the way, because Rob is helping me in trying to explain Shmuel, but it's going to be hard. But, okay, let's try. And that is, Rabbi says the following, that we're talking about a case where we're buying an ox and for its utility. Now, an ox for its utility is an indivisible item. In other words, the ox simply does not work unless you have the entire ox. And right now, the $200 investor says, look, in other words, the ox costs $300 right now. I can't buy the ox without you. Oh, okay, good. So I'll kick in $100. But since we're using the ox for its utility, and since the ox vis-a-vis its utility is an indivisible item, so therefore, as far as profit sharing is concerned, we're going to go 50-50 on the profits. That's Rabba's understanding of Shmuel. So Amar Rabba, Mesabra Milsa de Shmuel, B'shol l'charisha v'omel l'charisha. Ava b'shol l'charisha v'omel l'tzvicha, zeh no telafi ma'osav, zeh no telafi ma'osav. However, if let's say we bought the ox for plowing and the ox did a great job, a year, 2 years, but then afterwards, in other words, like all of us, the ox got old and now, okay, we're going to shecht it. Okay, so now that we're shechting it, so how are we dividing amongst the investors? So Rabbi says now that we're no longer looking at the ox vis-a-vis its utility and now we're looking at it vis-a-vis, we're splitting the flesh. So now, good. So you take representative of your 200, I'll take representative of my 100. Okay, good. We'll prorate. Aval shor l'charish, aval meletvicha, zenot tefim asav, zenot tefim asav. Sorry, I just reread that. Rav Hamnuna amar afilu shor l'charish, aval meletvicha, haskar le'emtsa. Okay, Rav Hamnuna, it's going to be really difficult to understand, but I'll try. And that is that if we bought the ox vis-a-vis its utility, since we went profit sharing, equitable profit sharing on the utility, it remains in the same model of profit sharing, even as I shecht it. Okay. And that means to say that according to Rav Hamnuna, if when we merged and ventured on the purchasing of an ox, even though I went in twice as much as you did, but because we bought it for its plowing, its utility, which again is indivisible, so that will remain even after we put the ox to pasture and after we shecht it, where the meat is going to be divided indivisibly. Inequitably. I say inequitably relative to the investment. In other words, it's going to be a 50-50 profit sharing even on the shechting. Okay. Now, Rav Hamnuna, as much as I'm trying to, Rav Hamnuna is difficult to understand. All right. I don't think there's any way around it. Rava, a little bit easier to understand, but still it's really difficult. Meaning, since I invested more, even though, again, we bought an ox, it's for its plowing, I get it, right? In other words, an ox can't plow without its left back leg. I get it. And you were there to provide the funds in order to get that left back leg. Meaning, I couldn't buy the ox without you. And I understand, the ox is a single entity. Even Rabba's understanding of Shmuel is difficult to understand. But, okay, I'm trying. So what we have over here in our Gemara is a statement by Shmuel, which is that when you're buying an ox for plowing, Shmuel didn't even say that. Shmuel just simply said that if we have multiple investors, one goes in 200 and the other goes in 100, equal profit sharing. That's what Shmuel said. And now what the Amoraim are presenting are their understanding of when did Shmuel say that. We have Rava and Rav Hamnuna. Rava at least is a little bit easier for me to explain. Rav Hamnuna, it's more of a challenge.
There's two problems with the comparison. Number one is carpal and one is movable object and one is money.
Right. Well, the Gemara is not comparing the cases. The Gemara is just piggybacking off the Mishnah when the Mishnah says...
He's looking for an explanation. He's using something...
Correct. In other words, we in our Mishnah, we're talking about debt satisfaction. And then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, profit sharing operates with the same model.
Profit sharing, you have to put money in.
Correct.
Didn't put any money in.
Agreed. Meaning, correct. It's not right. There are two different discussions. Right. One is that we're satisfying debt, and the second discussion is that we're investing. Absolutely, two different discussions. All the Mishnah says is that we're operating and we're using the same model for the two.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So the Amar Rabba, okay, good. We did that. So my love, Charisha, the Rabba. So the Gemara says, okay, I have a Braisa. The Braisa says, meaning just like what Shmuel said, by the way, meaning I know we first are presented this with Shmuel, but meanwhile, the Braisas are also talking like this as well. So again, once again, we have a venture and one went in with 200 and the other one with 100. And the Braisa says that under those circumstances, how are we going to divide the profit? Equal, 50-50 profit sharing. And the Gemara says, and presumably we're talking about a case where I bought the cow for its utility for plowing, and then afterwards we put it out to pasture and we shechted it, and still 50-50 profit sharing. The Gemara says, and if that's right, so now that's a point for Rav Hamnuna, that's a strike against Rabbah. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Lo b'shur l'charisha v'omer l'charisha. No, we're talking about where it was bought only for plowing. We're not talking about the shechting afterwards. Once you're shechting and you're literally dividing the animal, so then you're going to divide it prorated based on the investors. So then the Gemara says, so look, so if we're right about this, so then I didn't need the second half of the Braisa. What is the second half of the Braisa? The Gemara introduces us. So let's say that our investors didn't buy a single animal. But what did our investors do? They bought multiple animals. One invested and bought, I'm just throwing out numbers for example. One bought four animals and the other bought two animals. And so now we have a joint venture. But over here now, in other words, my investment is reflected in the number of animals that are there. And his investment is reflected in the number of animals over there. So Zeno Telefimosov is Zelen Telefimosov. So now, the Braisa says there, we're going to divide the profits prorated. So the Gemara says, Liflug v'lisne b'diday. The Gemara says, okay, so when you're buying one animal, equal profit sharing. When you're buying multiple animals, prorated. The Gemara says, but I'm telling you what bothers me. We didn't even have to get onto that second case. What we could have did is just stay in the same case. And when I'm buying a single animal, vis-a-vis its utility, equal sharing. But then once we shecht it and divide it, so now prorated. Why didn't the Braisa do that? That would have been so much better. In a single case, we can break up the halachas. So the liflok v'lis nebididei. Ba'med v'am amorim b'shul ha-charisha v'om l'charisha v'a b'shul ha-charisha v'om l'tzvicha zenotel fi ma'osav v'zenotel fi ma'osav. Why did the Braisa do that? Hachinami kamer. The Gemara says, yeah, the Braisa effectively did that. In other words, you weren't paying careful attention. That's what the Braisa says. So the bemed v'amam b'shul l'charisha v'am l'charisha v'a b'shul l'charisha v'am l'tzvicha. Nasa kemish l'akach zeh b'shulav v'zeh b'shulav v'nisarvu zenotel fi ma'osav v'zenotel fi ma'osav. Meaning a careful reading of the Braisa actually yields exactly this understanding. That when we pool our monies together to buy an animal, and it's for its utility, and it's one animal, so there, how are we going to share profits? Equal. Equal meaning 50-50. But I invested more than you did, yeah. But in other words, but we bought a single animal, and what we did is that we are investors not in the animal, but in its utility. It's a single utility from a single animal. And so therefore, profit sharing is going to go 50-50. But once we divide the animal, meaning once the animal no longer is plowing, and now we're dividing the animal, and we're physically dividing the animal, then yeah, it'd be no different than me putting in four animals into the venture, and you putting in two animals into the venture, where once again, now I can actually see my investment different than your investment.
Is it in the case where they didn't stipulate anything when they went into the investment together? Or like if there's no stipulation, then we go with this?
Right. Look, anytime you make a stipulation regarding how we're going to share profits, so then you're going to operate. This is the default settings of profit sharing. Yeah. Okay. V'chein tenan v'chein shlosha shi'itilu l'kis pischu osir kachin cholkos. So now we go back to our Mishnah, because what did our Mishnah do? Our Mishnah first dealt with debt satisfaction. Right. The three women, Mrs. 100, 200, 300, are all now needing a satisfaction of their debt. And what do I do when the funds are limited? Good. So in our Mishnah, again, so complicated, so difficult, that was Yaman Aleph. But then the Mishnah says, whatever you learned regarding debt satisfaction, is going to be the same thing in terms of profit sharing. That's what our Mishnah said. Now, kachin chokin. So, my love, pischu mamish, osir osir mamish. So, now, presumably, look, however you understood the Mishnah, and boy, was it hard to understand the Mishnah. What did you walk away from the Mishnah in terms of debt satisfaction? What we walked away from the Mishnah is very simple. Not everyone's equal. Meaning Mrs. 100 is not getting the same thing as Mrs. 200, who's not getting the same thing as Mrs. 300. Right? That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Again, we got tripped up by the actual numbers that are given in the Mishnah. That part's true. And that's not easy. But we certainly learned that if my debt is bigger than your debt, my satisfaction is going to be bigger than your satisfaction. So same thing regarding profit sharing. Meaning the Mishnah says, same thing regarding profit sharing. And presumably what the Mishnah is now telling me is that profit sharing is going to be relative to whatever I invested. If my investment's bigger, I get more profit. Isn't that what the Mishnah is saying? Now, if that's what the Mishnah is saying, we go back to Shmuel and we're looking at Shmuel. Shmuel, what are you talking about? You say that we invest in an animal and I'm hearing you. Meaning, and we're talking about it for its utility. Who cares? We invest in an animal. I'm a larger investor. I'm going to get more profit. Isn't it that simple? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Reva Baravu Alo. So Hutiro Zuzichadati and Pischu Astira Dutsinisa. So the Gemara says no, not necessarily. In other words, when the Mishnah says Pischu O Osiru, so the Mishnah is not talking about bigger investors, larger investors, smaller investors. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. But again, what we're trying to do now is defend Shmuel. Maybe not. Maybe we're just talking about Pischu V'Osiru. It's talking about the actual coins themselves that were used for investment. Okay, now back in the days, in other words, we live in a world where our currencies are pretty stable. Okay, I know. Right. I know. Right, they're right. Okay, but for the most part. Okay, and a lot of my childhood was spent in Argentina, and there the currency was not stable. Okay, but I actually know.
In all these cases, isn't the small investor making out better?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
The women do 100 that later too.
Okay, good. I understand. It's a hard duff. But meanwhile, let's just finish off this last point of the Gemara. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that no, we misunderstood the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah is talking about where investors are equitable partners. Equal partners in the investment. The Mishnah uses language of Hosiro and Pichsu, which indicates that there was a bigger investor, small investor. Nah, it's just a description of the currency. You know, some currencies are really easy to just to pass as currency. Some currencies are harder. Okay, back in the day, their coins actually were minted. Some were good, some were inferior. That's maybe what the Mishnah meant in terms of the investors were equal, but the coins were just of different qualities. Okay. Okay. Fine. Right. Again, it's a little bit challenging what the Gemara is trying to suggest in our Mishnah. Again, all this is for the purposes of defending Shmuel. It's a mitzvah to defend Shmuel. So that's what the Gemara is doing right now. Good. So that is a way to understand the Mishnah. And in doing so we have supported Shmuel. Okay, Adkan, that ends. Yeah. So Adkan, that ends, that takes us to an end of, I know I did that daf in really short order, but again, just from a daf yomi perspective, that ends a difficult daf, but let's walk away with something from today's daf. So number one, in our daf today, so there are two topics that were discussed in the Mishnah. One is debt satisfaction, and the other is profit sharing. Okay, the profit sharing really was an addendum to the Mishnah. The real point of the Mishnah was debt satisfaction. Look, that's what we've been discussing now for a number of days here in the Daf. 9th and 10th parak of Tzuvos, really dedicated to this topic of debt satisfaction. And so over here now, where I have three widows from the same husband, all married to him on the same day. Wow. And now, what happens where they have multiple Tzuvos, so you have Mrs. 100, Mrs. 200, Mrs. 300, and I don't have enough funds in the estate to satisfy all three. What do I do? So what the Mishnah tells us is that if there's 100, so they're going to now just simply equitably divide the estate, each one getting 33 and a third. But once you have 200, once you have 300, so then the division is going to be different. Now, if it's 200, it'll go 50, 75, 75. Again, these are the numbers of the Mishnah. When it's 200, so I just did that. When it's 300, it's going to be 50, 100, 150. Like I said, those numbers are attractive. They're easy numbers. However, what's unattractive, of course, is that it's not following any model. It's not following a prorated model. It's not following, it doesn't seem to be following any given model. How do you understand that? So what the Gemara provided for us are two possible models of how to understand the Mishnah. Number one, the first model of the Gemara is side deals, meaning that what happened over here amongst the widows is that they were making side deals with one another. Look, right, your claim, I'm not getting involved in your claim. I'm removing myself from your claim. Your claim, but not your claim. So the only way to understand the Mishnah, this is according to Shmuel. Shmuel's understanding of our Mishnah is that the numbers only came as a result of side deals that were created. Okay, that's a difficult approach, but that's an approach. The second approach of the Mishnah, Rav Yaakov Minahar Pekod, and that is that there are multiple distributions of the estate. Okay, don't really understand how there was multiple distributions, but whatever. In other words, they weren't dividing the estate at one time. First they had this much money, they divided that part, then they had that much money, and then they divided it. So our Mishnah can be tweaked and understood in a scenario of multiple distributions, and then of course you have the heavy lifting of figuring out how much came out in that first distribution, how does that work out with the numbers given in the first in the Mishnah in the case of 200, how do you do multiple distributions in the second case in the Mishnah? Okay, that part's not easy, but that's another way to approach the Mishnah. Okay, and then on the Amud Beis, we're talking about profit sharing. In other words, I have investors that invested into a venture, and now we're talking about profit sharing. And so, look, I think we all know the easiest way to figure out profit sharing is going to be relative to whatever your investment is. Okay, that's the easiest way to say it. It's intuitive. It makes the most sense. And yet, what we contended with in the second half of today's daf is a statement by Shmuel, where Shmuel says that in the event that you have an ox and it's a single ox and I have multiple investors, but I'm buying the ox for its utility. So since it's a single entity and since we're buying it not for the ox itself, but for its utility. So therefore that's an indivisible investment. And therefore each one is going to be receiving 50-50. Even as I say that, even as I think I understand it, I understand. It's hard to understand. It's difficult to understand. That was a statement made by Shmuel. We had two ways of how to understand Shmuel, Rab and Rav Hamnuna. And the Gemara says that, so I suggested that Rab is a little bit more digestible to understand. Rav Hamnuna is definitely more challenging to understand. And then what the Gemara did for the rest of today's daf is it challenged Shmuel's statement based on a series of Mishnahs, Brises, and our very own Mishnah as well seems to be going against Shmuel. The Gemara says, okay, noted. And the Gemara defended Shmuel.
So the halacha is like Shmuel.